continuing through our open home hour. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Won't get you on air today, because we're going to wrap up here with Carolyn. But if you've got a question during the week, we answer it all week long during normal business hours. 1-888-767-4348. Carolyn, welcome to the program. How may we help you?
I wanted to know, I paid a company to come and backflush my hot water heater. It was purchased in 2013, and it was sort of backflushed in 2014 by another company. But anyway, what should I expect to see? I thought there would be some mineral deposits on the ground, whatever. I went out after it was done. There was no water around the hot water heater. There was no minerals, indication of minerals at all. You know, he said, oh, some white liquid came out, and that has evaporated and dried. It's gone away. I'm just getting the feeling he didn't really backflush my water heater. So what should I expect to see afterwards? Anything?
Well, either he didn't do a good job, or you've got really great water, or really been good at your maintenance.
Oh, the water is terrible here. We have a really high mineral thing here going.
Oh, boy. Well, Carolyn, I'm sorry to say, I'm suspicious, too, if you didn't see any evidence. It should be like white flakes of material. And if it hadn't been done since 2014, it should have been a substantial amount, like maybe even as much as a cup or more, depending on how hard the water is at your house. I'm suspicious. The only way you'd be able to check is, again, connect a hose to the water heater, run the line out to the yard, put a sock over the end of that hose, and after turning the water heater off, drain it for a few minutes and see if any sediment comes out the bottom. If he's just recently completed this, you should see close to nothing. But if you get out, and I wouldn't drain the whole water heater. I'd just drain it long enough to see what comes out the bottom. If you get a couple tablespoons of material, I would be very suspect that he probably didn't do it at all. But not knowing who it was, not knowing what your relationship with him in the past has been, not wanting to disparage anyone I don't know, if you're not seeing anything after waiting 5 years, my alert system kind of starts flashing.
Could they have just cleaned up that well?
Well, they could have, but if he says all he got out was cream-colored water,
Okay.
I'm guessing he didn't flush it well enough to dislodge the flakes inside the tank. Because once you drain the tank, I like to crack the water on and off 5 or 6 times just to break that sediment buildup out, to flush it out. I mean, if all you do is drain the water that's in the tank and the sediment ball sits there undisturbed, you may only get out cream-colored water. You need to break it loose. So I'm suspicious, Carolyn.
Well, we did have one call. Can I throw in a question from a caller? Very first thing this morning, his name was Max, and he's moving from Scottsdale to Chandler, and they bought a home that's used, but they want to redo the entire floor in tile. His question is, he thinks is simple. I hope it is. Do you remove the baseboard and take the tile to the wall, or do you just take the tile to the baseboard?
Ooh. I have seen both, and I think it looks better to take the baseboard off. It adds extra labor, it adds extra time. But you know, if it's tall enough baseboard, I've seen a few where you could cheat it, but generally speaking, it looks pretty horrible. And that grout then goes right up against the baseboard, and I think it's a cleaner look to have the tile hitting, to see no grout where the baseboard and tile meet, and you could put a little thin bean of caulk. It looks a lot cleaner.
It lives cleaner. Now, there's a lot of interior designers that would tell you the height of the baseboard is critical, because If you've got 2.5-inch baseboard and you're going in with an inch and a half thick material, you would definitely want to remove the baseboard and go in with a 3.5-inch. But a lot of designers like the metrics of leaving the baseboard in and allowing the grout to be even. And then every cut is exactly dimensional from the center of the room out. So I would say the height of the baseboard probably is going to make the right decision. There's nothing worse than covering up a 2.5-inch baseboard with an inch or inch and a quarter of thick material, and you see this little bitty thing.
A little skinny baseboard.
Oh, it's horrible. That's horrible.
So congratulations on the new home and relocating. Just make sure you do that before you move in. If you're going to do the whole house, it'll be a lot easier to manage that. And, you know, I know occasionally, nobody likes paying their utility bill every single month in, month out, and we're always looking on how to make it less and less and less and less and less. But at the end of the day, it's a great service is provided to us. We've spent a lot of time looking at Arizona's infrastructure, both water and electrical. And for all 10 power companies in Arizona, just, hey, congratulations. We're not California. How'd you like to be this P&E blackout? Can you imagine any Arizona utility company saying, oh, there's a fire. We're just going to stop transmitting power to like 2 million of you guys. Sorry.
From the information I've seen, the way California Regulatory Agency has regulated PGE is criminal.
You know, I've been following, I've not said anything on the air, but I've been following them for about 6 months on the PG&E just because of how crooked it is.
I have a sister that lives in the area. She's been without power for 4 days. I know her husband, Terry, would love to be writing a check so that his power could be turned on. Yes.
So hats off to all the utility workers in Arizona, both water and electrical and gas, for keeping us up and running, and appreciate the service you provide. If you've got questions during the week, 1-888-767-4348. Email to info@rosieonthehouse.com or next Saturday, 7 o'clock. We'll be back here. Join us.